Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker. Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting. Just want to thank you for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. And as you listen to this program, just understand that you are joined by thousands and thousands of others who are interested in this exact same information. The way I look at this, you know, we're all in this together. We're helping each other out here. So it's a really, really neat community. The mission of Senior Care Live is to provide you the information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. So we have two different audiences, definitely related, but the first audience would be baby boomers, adult children caring for or providing support for their aging parents. So that's one segment of our audience. And then the other segment would be the seniors themselves, who are taking matters into their own hands. They're preparing for their own needs, and they're doing that independently. So again, if you're listening by radio, if you're streaming us online, or you may be listening to a podcast after the fact, again, thank you so much for being here today. You can reach us on our toll-free line at Senior Care Live. Here's the number. Write it down. 1-800-331-6445. Again, that's 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget to check out the website. Go online to Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, seniorcarelive.com. And be sure to connect socially. We do a lot of communication through social media. You don't want to miss out on that. And also, I had someone from, they live in Oklahoma City. Obviously in Oklahoma, and I posted something on Facebook, actually, and he writes in there, "Turn up the watts, can't get you down here in Oklahoma." And I'm like, oh, hey, we've got that covered. For if anyone has a concern, or you may have a family member living outside of the huge broadcast area, but it is in the Kansas City metro area plus a little bit, you can stream it live. Just go to seniorcarelive.com, click on the listen live button. It'll stream straight to your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever you have. And I'll remind you of that later as well, but do not miss out. You don't have to wait for the podcast. You can tune it in, online, and literally anywhere in the world. So feel free to do that and pass that along to anyone that may be interested in that. Okay, so today we have a really, really good program. We're going to cover some critically important information with my special guest here. We're going to start that sometime in the second segment throughout the rest of the program. This is going to be very specific about heart disease and what to look for and symptoms and what to do. And we're going to speak with an amazing woman who actually survived a heart attack. Her story is phenomenal. You do not want to miss out on this. But first, I want to share some information with you as I've been I've been a little preachy about Mark. He's given me the, maybe a little, but I've been a little preachy about the big warning of the peak demand for all of these senior care communities being in January and February. And so as discussed, as predicted, right on time and true to form, I'm seeing lots and lots of waiting lists, and it's all over the place, but especially at the top senior care communities and the best ones, because guess what? Everyone wants to move to the best one. And so if you're searching for a place and you're doing this on your own and you run into the situation where you may have like a 3-month waiting list, you may have a 6 to 12 month wait list. A place I screened the other day had a 24 month wait list. So if you encounter a wait list, what are you going to do? I mean, you have to do something. The reason you're looking is because you need help. Maybe home is no longer an option, or it could be a lot of things. But, you know, I recently had this situation occur with a family that I was doing some consulting with. They were willing to make a 2-step move. And so it might be something for you to consider. And this, what this means is that you would move your loved one or yourself to a facility, receive the care while you're waiting for your preferred or maybe your number one choice to become available, you know, X months down the road. Now, frankly, when this happens, most of the time, when I follow up with my clients, they end up staying at that first place that they thought maybe was a temporary spot waiting for the second move there. But they're like, hey, you know, we got to know the people here. We like it. They're doing a good job. So we don't really see the need to move. So, and sometimes you do move to that second place when it becomes available. So that's an option. And then about a week and a half ago or so, I met with a couple, super nice couple, very sharp, and the husband was taking care of his wife, and he said, look, Steve, you know, I'm no spring chicken. This is starting to really take a toll. And they're not interested in moving twice. They want to move one and done. So I consulted with them. We had a very extensive a consulting session and counseling session. And so I basically worked with them, and we put together a plan to remain in their home until this apartment becomes available. And it was a pretty long wait list in this particular situation. So they're going to make a few more on the minor side, but very important and functional home modifications. And so they can, improve the functionality of the home and help him help her. And, then they're also going to bring in a home care company. And, they have a really good long-term care insurance policy. So now you're starting to get into some of the other layers of complexity. And so they have a good long-term care insurance policy. And they said, you know, they sent us this list of providers that they are, that they work with. And they're on this kind of this short list. So I coached them on which providers that they might want to consider, given my experience in the marketplace. I also scratched out the ones that they definitely should not contact. And then I also gave them a third provider that is not on their list. And they're like, well, if it's not on the list, can you do that? Well, yeah, most people don't understand that. Most long-term care insurance providers will contract with a home care provider, and it's really just kind of a one-off contract or as needed. So most of the time, they will consider that, and here's why. If they have a provision saying that, well, you have to be a licensed by your state, well, guess what? Kansas and Missouri, licensure is not required. It's not even available in Missouri. It's very optional in Kansas, and only a few places have it versus the, you know, 200 or 300 others that do not. So they will consider a one-off contract, and so I gave them a name of a third place. And then I provided them – I've talked about this before, but I provided them the what I call the home care provider screening tool. And this is totally free of charge on both websites, SeniorCareLive.com and seniorcareconsulting.com. And you can, it's a PDF file. You just go there, find it, download it, print it off, and boom, you're in business, totally free of charge. Feel free to help yourself. But I provided them that tool so that they could vet their top three providers. And again, it was two on the list and one not on the list. And then once they meet with all three of these providers, they ask them all the same questions. Then they're going to choose the one that they feel the most comfortable with, that they feel is the best fit for their family and their needs. That's what that's all about. So I just wanted to take a couple of minutes today towards the end of this first segment and review that for you. So we call it the home care provider screening tool. And some of these are kind of obvious. Some of them are not so obvious, but ask the same questions of all three when you're screening them. So how long have you been in business? So are they a brand new provider? Are they learning on you? Or are you their 2,000th customer or client? So look, the newer places, that doesn't mean that they'll do a bad job. They'll probably do a fine job. But I think you want someone with some experience, that can address all of your needs. That would be my personal preference. Are you privately owned, a national company, or are you a franchise? So some people say, well, I want to go with the privately owned, you know, like a local group, a home care provider, and that's fantastic. Some people will say, well, you know, I'm not sure about these franchise ease, and I don't know about these national companies. Look, here's what it all comes down to. This is a top-down operation. It totally comes down to who is the local person in charge of the business. And how do they run that business? Do they set their bar high? Do they have high expectations? Do they screen their staff thoroughly? There's a lot to it, but it all comes down to that local person running the business, in my opinion. You know, how many offices do you own and operate? Where are they located? Exactly what services do you offer? If you have dementia, concerns, you know, ask them, you know, are you trained in dementia? Are you experienced there? Can you meet our needs for my loved one who has Alzheimer's or dementia? Is there an RN on staff? And if so, what is their role? Do you offer geriatric care management services? How do you screen your staff? Is your staff of caregivers licensed, bonded, and insured? What happens if there's an accident in my home or I'm missing some valuables? What's the process there? What happens if the caregiver cannot come out today? Will you send out a replacement caregiver so I don't have to blow up my entire day? So feel free to go out and just go seniorcarelive.com or seniorcareconsulting.com and download totally free of charge the home care provider screening tool, and that'll help you remain in your home independently and safely while you're waiting on one of these communities to have an opening for you. All right, so now the Senior Care Live question of the week. Medicaid will help pay for the cost of assisted living, A, in Kansas, B, in Missouri, C, in both states, or D, not in either state. The answer right after the break. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by. 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about this program and how we can help you and your family, call our toll-free number anytime. That's 1-800-331-6445. Operators are always standing by, so call now. Call anytime 24/7. Here's the phone number, 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget, as I mentioned last time, I'll just mention it briefly again, you can stream this program. If you have an internet connection, boom, you are in business. Go to seniorcarelive.com, click listen live, and it will stream into any electronic device that you have. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Medicaid will help pay for the cost of assisted living, A, in Kansas, B, in Missouri, C, in both states, or D, not in either state. And the answer is C. C in both states. However, this is kind of a trick question. I always throw a lot of trick questions out here, right? But they're tricky questions because this is how difficult some of this stuff is. There's a giant catch to this statement. In Missouri, Medicaid will pay a whopping, hold on to your hats, $292 a month toward the cost of assisted living. By the way, the average cost of assisted living is somewhere between $5,000 and $6,000 a month on average. So frankly, the $292 is not going to help enough. So I guess my question is, why bother? I mean, oh yeah, we help out. It's $292. It's not enough to be really meaningful at all. So in Kansas, it's a little different situation, just different laws, different programs. We have a program called HCBS, Home and Community-Based Services. It is a bucket of money underneath that Medicaid umbrella. Within the Medicaid program, it will help pay for assisted living. However, there's a big catch. Assisted living is considered a social model, not a medical model. So it will help with the support services, your help with your activities of daily living, like the assistance with your bathing, dressing, grooming, meal preparation, housekeeping, laundry, dispensing your medication, transportation. They do a whole lot for you. So Medicaid will help with that part, but it will not pay for your room and board, the cost of your apartment. So the family would have to kick in $200 or $300 or $400, maybe up to a couple of $1,000 a month to help pay for the cost of that room and board. And that is really unrealistic for most of my clients. Once in a while, we can make that work. If there are several siblings that are able to kick in $100 a piece, a couple hundred dollars a piece, we can make that work. Most of the time, that just doesn't work either. So technically it's available, but big limitations. So, all right, before we get to my special guest, Mark, can I gloat just for a minute? Is it polite to gloat? Okay, I got a thumbs up on that. So Mark says I can gloat, but only for a couple of minutes. So let me gloat. I had a nice lady call me with a very complex placement situation. Call me with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, where we help families and individuals find the right fit at any level of care that may be needed. So, very complex situation with her parents. Dad needs a nursing home level of care, heavy medical care with complex medical needs, including a PEG tube, a feeding tube, and the enteral nutrition, and a lot of other medical issues. So, he's a lot of care on the medical side of things. Mom needs assisted living, but she has early Alzheimer's. So, for now, she will need a basic assisted living community, but later she'll need to be able to transition to memory care at the assisted living level. Physically, she's doing great. It's just the cognitive issues. And then on the financial side of things, so we're getting more complex now, they're going to do a division of assets, working with the local elder law firm that does a great job with that. Dad will qualify from Medicaid within 3 months of his spend down and then qualify. Mom will be private pay for about 5 to 6 years. And then at that point, she will need to transition to Medicaid as well. And at that point, she'll ultimately need the nursing home level of care, which will need to also have memory care available, all covered by Medicaid. Oh, and by the way, we need to move next week. And oh, by the way, they want to be together. We're not talking about two different places. We're talking about a continuing care retirement community that can meet all of these needs that we have in this complex puzzle. Sound complex? Yep, it sounds complex because it is complex. But guess what? That's what we do at Senior Care Consulting every single day. So she said, look, I have to tell you, I called at one of these free referral services that promises to help you find a place for your parents. And she explained all this. And do you know what she heard from the senior care advisor from the free referral service? She heard crickets. There was silence. And then the lady says, well, I'm going to have to talk to a friend of mine. I'll get back with you here in the next couple of weeks. This is a you get what you pay for. Senior Care Consulting, we help our clients through complex matters, through simple matters, and everything in between. This was very easy for me to walk through because this is my specialty through my firm, Senior Care Consulting. If you have a complex matter, give us a call. We offer a free consultation, and we can help you even in the most complex situations. 913-945-2800 or online at seniorcareconsulting.com. I had someone else say, well, Steve, how do you know all these services are popping up all over the place? And how do you know if one of these services operates in the way that you've explained previously, these free referral services? They get kickbacks from a very short list of providers. They don't work for you. They work for the facilities. There's just so many issues with that. But they said, hey, how do you know that they work like that? And I said, it's super easy. It's a great question. Super easy. You look for one word, and that word is free. If that service is free to you, that means they don't work for you. They work for the providers, and they work exactly how I've explained several times before in this program. So here's the point. Don't call the free referral services. We work with a flat fee for service. It's very reasonable. We work directly for you and in your family's best interest. Give us a call at 913-945-2800, and we can help you with even the most difficult of circumstances. All right. Mark, I'm done gloating. So, and it was just a few minutes. So anyway, all right, I'm going to shift gears and introduce my special guest today, Jody Jackson. Jody is a former ambassador with the American Heart Association, and Jody has a heck of a story. Jody, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks so much for having me again. I appreciate it.
All right. All right. So I gloated a little bit too long. I wanted to get in a little bit sooner. So I want you to save your personal story until right after the break. And for our listeners, you want to hear this story. It is amazing. And look, our goal today is to save someone's life.
Absolutely.
With this information, and it gives me chills to think that with the information we are about to share with our listeners, we may very well help someone save their life.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And so I'm so looking forward to that. And so Jody is a heart attack survivor. You will not want to miss her story. And then we're going to talk about symptoms and how do I know if I'm having a heart attack symptom or if it's just a bad meal that I just had, right? So there's so much to it. But hang on. Don't go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about this program and how we can help you and your family, don't forget to call our toll-free number anytime, 1-800-331-6445. Again, 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget, if you miss a program or you wish someone else would have heard the information, I'll guarantee you, you're going to think of someone at the end of this show and you're going to say, look, go back after the fact to seniorcarelive.com, go to the podcast section, and give us till about the middle of the following week, and we'll have the podcast up, and then you can listen to that anytime. You just click the button and boom, it'll stream straight to you. So it's really that simple. So don't forget about the podcasts after the fact. All right, back to my special guest today, Jody Jackson, former ambassador of the American Heart Association, and Jody, you're all about raising the awareness, and that's for a very good reason. Would you share your story with us today?
I do have a good reason for that. Back on October 13th, actually, of 2011, I was driving home from work and started in with a toothache.
A toothache.
Mm-hmm. Thinking, I'd just been to the dentist. I can't believe I have a toothache. I'm going to have to go back. And as I got closer to home, I'm driving down K-10 going towards Lawrence. Yeah. It gets worse and worse. And I was
a toothache.
Mm. And so I was riding with a friend of mine, driving her back to my house because we carpooled. And by the time we pulled in my driveway, she said, "You look awful." She goes, "I hate to tell you that. Are you okay?" I said, "I'm fine. I just have some heartburn and a toothache. I need to go in and take some antacids."
Yeah.
So I went in, I took the antacid, and it became quickly clear to me, although I didn't know what was wrong, that I was very ill. There was something really, really wrong
out there. It's not your normal.
Not your normal at all. I had just this raging headache like I've never experienced before. And by that time, my toothache had spread through my entire jaw, and it hurt like my teeth were going to fall out of my head.
Wow.
And so I didn't know what it was. So I put the dog in her crate and I called an ambulance because I was home by myself. I knew for sure I needed to see a doctor. It was a feeling of, if I don't see a doctor, I'm going to die.
Hmm.
So I called 911, told him my symptoms, that I felt like I was having some heartburn. He asked me if I had chest pain. I said, "It doesn't hurt. It just feels like, you know,
heartburn.
I ate Mexican food and I have heartburn."
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I had this horrible headache. And then I told him about my jaw. And right after I said that to him, he had me chew some baby aspirin.
Wow.
And wait for the ambulance. So as I got in the ambulance, what I didn't know was they knew that I was having a heart attack. They could tell when they hooked me up to the EKG.
Yep.
And they had called that ahead to the hospital. And so when I got to the hospital, all of the ER doctors and nurses were standing behind the counter, and I rounded a corner into a room that was full of a cardiac team.
Wow.
And the cardiologist was just getting there, and he looked at me when he looked at the EKG and said, "You're having a heart attack. We've got to go to surgery." and we've got to go right now. And when he said right now, we'd started down the hallway in just about a near sprint.
Was that the first time that you heard the H word, the heart attack word?
Yes, that was the first time that...
It's like, you're having a heart attack, we're going now. Yes. You're like, what the...
Yeah, oh, I was so surprised. I was 42 years old. I didn't
42?
Even, 42. I didn't even know women that were 42 had heart attacks.
Yeah.
Had heart disease.
Right.
Although I knew about heart disease and, you know, certain things cause it, it wasn't really at the forefront of my mind when I was 42 years old. I thought it was something that people in their 70s and 80s got.
Yeah.
At
42, I mean, it wouldn't even cross your mind.
No, it didn't cross my mind
at
all.
Too early, you'd think.
Yes,
yeah.
You would think.
Yeah.
But it turns out, as I've come to work with the Heart Association in the past and met other survivors, that it happens to a lot of very young women.
Yeah.
The stress in their lives that they have being moms and working.
Mm-hmm.
Also pregnancy. Women that are in that childbearing age tend to have heart attacks. Some pregnancy is very hard on your body. A lot of things I had no idea and would have never told you that I was going to be a candidate for a heart attack.
Yeah.
And now from the time I'm 42 on, live with heart disease.
So he said, ma'am, you're having a heart attack, and
yes.
your eyes pop out of your head. You're
oh,
like,
absolutely.
What the heck? And he's like, we're going to surgery right now.
Right now.
So you had...
You don't have any time. I'm asking... Well, and women are multitaskers, and I'm asking the nurse. I said to the nurse, how long is this going to take to recover from? When can I go back to work? Because you just... I mean, you really don't think rationally when somebody tells you something like that.
Right.
You can't... Because
that's hard to wrap your head around that one.
It's very hard to wrap your head around that one, because for me at that age, I thought that a heart attack was that Hollywood heart attack where you clutch your chest and you fall to the ground and you lose consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that had happened to me. I was still awake. I was still talking to them. And so to me, how bad could it really be? And what I found out afterwards, what he told me afterwards, was that I had the worst heart attack you could have. It's known as the Widowmaker. It was.
I've heard of the Widowmaker.
Yes.
That's like no one survives that. There,
well,
it's rare,
very few.
Very rare.
Less than 20% of women survive the kind of heart attack I had.
Holy
and mostly
cow.
Because they don't seek medical attention.
Yeah.
What happens is the plaque in an artery, I only had about a 20% plaque buildup, but it broke. And it caused 100% immediate occlusion of my artery.
So the plaque breaks off,
mm-hmm.
and now it's free flowing.
Now it's free flowing.
And then it's gonna clog up somewhere.
It clogs
and
up.
That's your problem.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went in and they were able to put stents in. They placed 3 stents that night.
And a stent means it goes around the blockage.
It goes through the blockage.
Oh, through
and
the blockage. Okay.
They're able to, it's just a little bitty, it looks like a little coil, and
uh-huh.
they're able to open it up, kind of drill through the blockage, open it up, and it keeps your artery open.
And then the flow can continue.
And then the flow. And it
okay.
was, I watched them do it on the screens.
You're kidding.
Because where the doctor was watching, I could see it. And as soon as they opened that up, all of the pressure in my chest just went away.
Instant relief. And you were awake for that?
I was awake for that.
Oh,
I was
gosh.
In the cath lab. They didn't actually
okay.
do bypass surgery
okay.
where they had to cut my chest open.
Yeah.
That was on their list of things they might have to do.
Right.
But fortunately for me, they didn't have to go that route.
So they went, not that any of this is minor, but that's a lot less invasive than
absolutely.
Like open heart surgery
yes.
or using the scopes through your chest and
yes,
all that stuff.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was where they took just a, they ran that up through the artery in
mm-hmm.
my leg,
uh-huh.
Up to my heart. So,
yeah.
And
that
they
just opened it up.
They opened it up. And when we left, the cath lab, he said to me, he said, you're very, very lucky. He said, had you laid down and gone to sleep, you would have never woken up.
Wow.
So
how many people say, oh, you know, the dentist mm-hmm. missed something, toothache.
Yes.
Yeah, my lunch isn't agreeing with me.
Yes.
Take a couple of Advils. I'm just going to take a little nap here.
Yes.
How many people would do that?
Well,
everybody would do it.
In women, less than 20% survive the kind of heart attack I had. So more than 80%
yeah.
don't seek medical care when they're having that kind of heart attack.
And then I got to say, the men, and now I will say this. I do not, if I don't go screaming to the emergency room
right.
with a hangnail, but if I think something's wrong,
yes.
I am not afraid to say, hey, let's look into
mm-hmm.
this, folks. But most men are not like that.
Most men
we're
are
macho.
Not like that.
We're macho.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
oh,
I can get through that.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we do, which
mm-hmm.
is not very smart.
No, it's not smart at all. And in fact, a survey of women shows that women are 50% more likely to call an ambulance for their husband, spouse, partner, than they are for themselves. So circumstance for me was that I happened to be home by myself and I felt like I needed to see a doctor, and that was my only option because I felt like I couldn't drive. So that the circumstance just worked out right for me. But a lot of people just do not. They lay down to see if they feel better. Somebody goes to check on them. You know, it's mid-afternoon. Somebody goes up, says, hey, it's dinner time, and they're not, they've passed because they didn't seek medical attention.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about some of the warning signs. And I'll guarantee you lots of people listening right now had no idea that there's pain in your jaw or it could start off as simple as a toothache.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a toothache, but it might not be a toothache.
Right.
And so if your toothache then starts to spread and accompanied by some of these other issues, mm-hmm. you better be calling somebody right now. And so let's get into some of these symptoms so that we can inform our listening audience of what to look for.
Right. So that Hollywood heart attack where it's sudden and you clutch your chest does happen, but it's very rare. Mostly heart attacks come on slowly, where they start with one or two symptoms and then progressively more symptoms come along.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the signs that can mean you're having a heart attack are chest discomfort. Now, I didn't have any pain, but it just felt like pressure and heartburn, but it never hurt me. So even something like that, a friend of mine said my father-in-law had a heart attack the other day. It felt like he swallowed a golf ball.
Wow. So it doesn't have to be
painful.
That you always hear the elephant sitting on your chest.
Yeah.
Now, it might feel like that, but it absolutely
right.
does not have to be something like
but
that.
But it certainly
obvious.
Can, but
yeah.
it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So it can go away. It can come back. If it keeps coming back like that, you want to see a doctor.
Yeah.
Discomfort in other areas of the upper body.
He felt like he swallowed a golf ball.
Yes.
So that's like some pressure kind of where your esophagus
exactly.
kind of maybe touches,
mm-hmm.
like your diaphragm, where
right.
it's going in. It's just some weird kind of,
yes.
like, that'd be like an internal pressure
uh-huh.
kind of pushing out.
He just
out,
felt off.
Like he got a golf
way.
Ball in there.
Yeah.
So, and I just want to focus on some of these details.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you feel like that, might be something you ate. But if it's mm-hmm. in conjunction with some of these other things,
right.
call somebody.
Absolutely.
Better safe than sorry. Okay. And we only have about a minute left,
okay.
and then we'll continue this definitely
okay.
after the break here.
Perfect.
But go ahead.
And the other one with the chest discomfort would be other areas of the upper body, like your jaw, like your neck, pain in your arms, or in your stomach, like a feeling of nausea.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's really important. If it's coupled with shortness of breath, that would be important. And also breaking out in a cold sweat, nausea, or lightheadedness are some of your main symptoms that both men and women have.
That is amazing. And so for our listeners, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I wish my mom could be hearing this, or I wish a friend could hear this. Just take some notes, listen up, but then after the fact, go listen to the podcast. You can send the podcast, in an email link to someone. You can even text it to them. So you can do that at seniorcarelive.com. You click on the podcast tab and you can share this information with someone. It just may save their life. We're going to have some more critical information, very valuable information right after the break.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about this program and how we can help you and your family, call our toll-free number, 1-800-331-6445. Again, that's 1-800-331-6445. Back to my special guest today, Jody Jackson, former ambassador with the American Heart Association and a heart attack survivor. And Jody, I'm going to have to have you back because we have so much information that we're not going to be able to get to today, but let's in the few minutes we have left in this final segment, let's focus on women's heart attack symptoms
mm-hmm.
because they're a little bit different, and I'll guarantee you 90%+ of our audience, they do not understand this.
Absolutely. You know, where men are more likely to have the chest discomfort and the pain in their arms, women are truly more likely to have dizziness, nausea, things that they can kind of explain away as the flu, or they pulled their back, like muscular pain in their back.
Pain between or behind your shoulder blades.
Yes.
You can do that lifting up something.
Absolutely, so. You can. So there's so many. But make sure if these symptoms are together, you know, if you're having nausea, vomiting, shortness of breath together, that would indicate. Or if you're having back and jaw pain with sweating and vomiting and dizziness, that could indicate. So if you take the symptoms.
Look for a combination.
Look for a combination of the symptoms. Very rarely is it just one symptom, but a combination of them.
So if you had a toothache and that was it.
Yeah.
It's probably a toothache. It might not be, but it's probably a toothache.
Yes.
But then that continued in throughout your entire jaw, and then you had some other symptoms, and you're like, wait a minute, something's wrong.
Right.
And so you have to pay attention
yes.
to these symptoms. And a friend of mine, long story short, his wife watched Oprah. This has been mm-hmm. 20 years ago, and they talked about jaw pain mm-hmm. as like a big indicator
yes.
for ladies mm-hmm. with the heart attack. She had jaw pain like a few days after watching
yes.
that. And she said, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. And she went in and they caught it really early. She was having a heart attack early.
Yes.
Like first part of it.
Right. And I had a friend, that read my blog. And she was a nurse and she started having some symptoms. And she said to me, she said, I thought of you in the back of my head. And she was driving and she stopped where there was a police officer and flagged him down. And he called an ambulance for her. And she was having a heart attack as well.
Wow.
So, you know, she thought of me and the information that I shared. And that saved her life. So,
and that's why you're so, what do I want to say? You're so active. Active
yes.
in the Go Red for Women campaign
yes,
is
absolutely.
You're like a major advocate
yes.
and really promoting that because what is the goal for the Wear Red for Women?
Well, the goal for Wear Red for Women, you know, of course a little over a week ago, was National Wear Red Day. And that's to bring awareness to the fact that heart disease is the number one killer of women and it kills, 1 in 3 women. And that's about
1 in 3.
1 in 3. It's actually, the statistic is about 1 in 2.6.
Wow.
And you know, it's the women's number one killer, but if in a poll of women, only 13% of women even see that as a health threat to them. And that's a startling statistic
mm-hmm.
when it's the number one killer of women. If you compare that to something like breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
not to diminish breast cancer kills 1 in 30 women a year and heart disease kills 1 in 2.6. So it is their
number one. It's 10 times the rate.
10 times the rate. And most women, because Susan G. Komen Foundation has done such a great job of advocating, would tell you it's breast cancer because that's what they hear the most about.
Sure.
So Go Red for Women aims to bring that to the forforefront so that women hear about mm-hmm. It and know what the signs are and that it is their number one killer.
So if that doesn't get your attention, so you would think, you know, all the pink ribbons and everything, and again, not diminishing it.
Right.
It's super important. It's
yes,
a big,
absolutely.
big, huge deal. But 10 times more women die from heart issues and heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
10 times.
Yes.
So that puts this in perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
So some of the other warning signs, and I'll just let you go ahead and with some of the things I think that you were wanting to share.
Well, yeah, really, those are the warning signs. Women are more likely when they're postmenopausal, their rate goes up way over that to 2 to 3 times higher than premenopausal women.
Yeah, is that hormone related?
That is hormone related.
Okay.
Heart disease is strongly tied to hormone shifts,
uh-huh.
Which is why in somebody like my case, when I go through menopause, they will not give me hormones.
Yeah.
I'll just have to tough it out. But stroke as well is part of heart disease, and it's the number 3 killer of women.
Wow.
So between heart disease and stroke, you've got 2 of the top 3.
And that's all related.
It's all related.
To your heart health.
Yes, to your heart health. And, you know, there's ways you can prevent it. You can lead an active lifestyle. You can watch your weight. You can watch what you eat. You can not smoke. You can drink limited alcohol.
Stop the smoking.
The smoking. That's one of the biggest causes of heart disease in young women.
I'm not going to beat anyone up if you smoke, but why would you? I don't get it. It doesn't smell good. It's killing you. And oh, by the way, it's just unbelievably expensive.
Yes.
get some help. There's some mm-hmm. medications that can help you kick it, and stop it. And your lungs will start to repair, and you'll put yourself at much lower risk for mm-hmm. some of these heart related issues. And you'll be a lot richer. You'll probably yes. be a few hundred, give yourself
you can go on
a
vacation.
Few hundred dollars a month raise. Yes. Stop smoking. So anyway, that's my PSA today,
yes.
my public service.
Absolutely. You know, there's other things. If you have diabetes, you're at a higher risk for heart disease. So in managing other diseases, you'll reduce your risk for heart disease and stroke. Make sure that if your doctor prescribes medication, you're taking it properly because they're giving it to you for a reason, most likely because your cholesterol's high, your blood pressure's high. Controlling those is really important. And the one other really, really big thing, and people are going to hate to hear me say this, mm-hmm. is you have to manage your salt intake.
Yeah.
It's crucial to blood pressure. And what you really have to control your blood pressure. And people that don't have high blood pressure think they don't need to control their salt intake, but they absolutely do. And so all of your processed foods, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. super high in salt. So really your diet of eating more fruits and vegetables and unprocessed foods are really going to lead you down the road to less likely having heart attacks.
And, you know, in my older age here, I can't stand like, I don't go to fast food. I never did eat a whole lot of it anyway, but you will just rarely see me, in a place. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the processed foods.
Right.
I'm eating cleaner foods. My whole family is eating cleaner foods.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a little more expensive. It takes a little more work to make something versus buy something,
mm-hmm.
but it's totally worth it.
It absolutely is. And my kids being teenagers don't like to go to McDonald's and that type of thing. They were pretty young when I had my heart attack.
Yeah.
They were 8 and 11. So we stopped all of that. On a rare occasion, if we're on the road and we just can't find anything else to eat, we'll stop. But that's about it for us.
And then some of the resources, the additional mm-hmm. educational information, for Centers for Disease Control, womenheart.org, and then heart.org is the American Heart
yes.
Association.
And they have great information on all three of those sites.
And I'll make sure that I get these links on my website under under the resources tab.
Yes.
And then if you'd like, can I put a link to your blog?
Absolutely.
On there, because
sure.
I've read that many times.
Yeah.
It's really good information. It's already saved a nurse's life.
Yes, it has.
And so you did exactly what Oprah did. I mean, just
yes.
getting the information
well,
out.
Well, you do. I felt like, I can't believe I'm this young, and everybody needs to know it.
And she was a nurse.
Yes, she was a nurse.
Wasn't her. She is a nurse.
She is a nurse.
She lived.
Yes.
She lived.
She did, and she is a nurse. But, you know, they have different specialties, and they don't pay attention to some of the things versus others.
And I'll tell you what. Not all nurses. My wife's a nurse.
Yes.
And she's pretty fit. But a lot of nurses, you know, they'll say one thing and maybe do another.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't pay attention to their own
yes.
circumstance. So, all right, Jody, thank you so much for being here today. And I do want to have you back because I think there's some other things that I would love to talk
okay.
about. It's such a huge issue. And I bet you we made a difference in someone's life today.
I hope so. Thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
You bet. And to everyone listening, I'm so honored you spent part of your day tuning into this program. Thank you so very much. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. I'll see you next week right here on Senior Care Live.